response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
6-7.
Okay. Ooh. I'm so cool.
It's Mike Shope.
That's already over.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Well, then I'm going to really pick up on it.
And the Bulldog.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Why was 5 afraid of 6?
Because 6-8-7.
Because 7-8-9.
7-8-9.
I trapped you.
It didn't even make sense.
He trapped me.
Hate puns. Riddles.
Jokes and fun.
Numbers.
And laughing and smiling.
The show. Everything.
6-7!
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I really think it's quite possible that in a long list of preposterously ridiculous things that I've done on the radio, that maybe is the worst. This is not a thing you could. I've never been one who would like. I'm not the dad that would ask when my kids were little. I never asked them that question. So like, it's not like locked and loaded for me. But still, what are you doing? What did I even say there? Like the numbers, it doesn't make sense. It's not hard. It's not even, it's not math. It's just talking. Aaron Quinn from Cover One is on the Western Outline with us. You're on the air with a moron, Aaron. I don't know if you are happy about that, but that's what you signed up for by answering my call.
Well, fitting that you have me on then, because I'm in good company. Fit right in there. Yeah, no, my kids are always asking me for those dad jokes. I never have them. All mine are too inappropriate to tell my kids at their ages. So I'll have to wait till they're your son's age so I can really give them my repertoire of jokes.
I'm the guy that leaned on John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd when my kids were like 7 and 5. Yeah. Like, let's watch the Blues Brothers and all of its inappropriate jokes. Okay, good.
Well, I will say, don't give yourself too hard of a time, though. You guys, I don't envy. You guys spend so much time on air. I only do an hour once a week, and I say dumb stuff. In that hour, I couldn't imagine the hit rate of dumb things I would say if I was on the air as long as you are.
Right, well, we'll see what we can do here in the 20 minutes or so we've got together.
Yeah.
How's the summer going, man? How is the family? Are your boys? How many of your boys are playing golf?
So I got both of them in junior golf here in the town, which is a fantastic program. We're super lucky here in Western New York that it's accessible, right, to folks like us that can go out and play. And so they're both learning the game a little bit, but yeah, the summer, trying to keep them busy, man. I got these kids in about everything I can do just to keep them out busy. But the AC is working extra, and I know you're off next week, and it's looking great. I heard you got some golf lined up.
I got some golf lined up, and I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how much the 61-year-old body can handle on back-to-backs. Yeah. It's a quick turnaround. I've got a Sunday late afternoon and then early Monday morning, and that could be, you know, it'd be a lot. I might need like a leave drip or something to get through the day.
Porch beers help, I hear.
Yes, normally they do. Yes, indeed. Well, yeah. Aaron, how it's been so long? Like we've not touched base. So there's a lot to sort of pour over here. What's your overall on the Bills' status right now? They're one of the top favorites in the AFC for the Super Bowl. They and the Ravens, like that's unchanged. And as much as I respect the betting markets and the odds, I feel a little bit like there should be more respect given to the changes that have happened here. And I feel like assuming it's all just going to be full speed ahead because they've got 17, as much as I love him and respect his game, I don't know. I feel like there's just a little bit too much of shrugging off new system on defense and Joe Brady, first-time head coach. I don't know. What's your overall right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to find what the pulse is, right? Because everything I'm seeing, like you're saying, betting markets, national media, everyone still has the Bills as one of those top contenders in the AFC. But like locally, when you're talking to people, And I don't know if this is just us kind of becoming an entitled fan base in some ways of just, you know, they've been so good in the regular season, but it hasn't led to the success people have wanted. So, you know, it's kind of a, oh, I'll believe it when I see it type of mentality from the fan base. But the excitement doesn't feel like it normally does this many weeks out from training camp, right? Like it has in the past. And so that's a weird thing I'm trying to wrap my head around. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle of the local vibe I'm getting and the national vibe. I think you're right. There's a lot of questions. I think many in the national media are just assuming because Joe Brady was here and the offense was really good, that is going to stay intact. But him becoming a head coach is a big unknown, right? We know whatever you want to say about Sean McDermott, you could go back through many seasons, whether it was, you know, all the COVID stuff, DeMar Hamlin, having to move games in the middle of the season. Something sort of always came up where you needed that type of leadership that I think he provided. And that's an unknown in this Joe Brady era, is the marathon of the season. Like, I know he's a good offensive mind. I think the guys like him and they'll rally around him. But there's another element of leading a group of men that we just don't know how he's going to handle it. And I think the same is true on Jim Leonard, who I'm a little bit more excited about as a defensive coordinator than I am about Joe Brady as a head coach. And there's still a lot of unknown, right? Like, he wasn't the defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. And I think we all point to how good that defense was and kind of associate that with Jim Leonard. And while I like Jim Leonard, I like what he did at Wisconsin, I think he's a bright young mind, I don't think this is going to be the iteration of the Jim Leonard defense that necessarily he wants. It won't be a right. finished product in the first year, because these aren't all his guys, right? He's using pieces and parts from a previous defense that he has to kind of morph into maybe something that isn't his preferred style of defense, because he doesn't have all the guys to run exactly how he would want to. So I think there will be some growing pains, but I don't think that should stop anyone from being excited. You said it. You still have 17. You still have a lot of, you still have James Cook, one of the best running backs in football. You still have one of the better offensive lines in football. I like the skill position room. There are talented players on the defensive side of the ball that I think scheme could get a little bit more out of than we've seen in the last couple of years from the Sean McDermott era. So there's things to be excited about, but kind of just trying to feel out where this team's going to be, man.
You use the word morph there, and that's a big, the fact that you've got, I know Landon Jackson put on weight. I think I've read about Deion Walker dropping weight, and like, I don't know, when I get to like, I'm changing guys' bodies, like they did this with AJ Epenesa, I feel like twice, right? Was he light when he got here and they wanted him to be heavy, and then they said, no, you should actually go back to light, or vice versa, whatever that was. Whenever you get into that, I just look, anything can work, and maybe both of those guys will be important pieces here. Jackson had a lost year, basically. Walker, I thought, was a guy that might have even salvaged the whole draft class with how well he played. And so I think the arrow is pointing up on him, but when you're asking guys to alter their bodies, I worry about in one off season, that's where I go, okay, do I have the guys I need here, or is this going to be a work in progress? The best I can do to get, because I like the Leonard hire. It was certainly one of the guys that was at or near the top of the list in my mind going into the process. So I'm glad that they reeled him in. Maybe the most optimistic I can get about it, if you know, you share a concern like I do about the personnel and whether they've got the right pieces or not, is that maybe that gets figured out as the year goes on, and he figures out how to use different guys in different ways or whatever, and maybe they're really running hot by the time we get to the end, and that's what matters the most.
Yeah, the first point, I do agree with you. The PR stuff of the spring where it's like, oh, so-and-so comes in looking so big, or he gained this weight. You can put weight on a mediocre player. It's not going to make them an elite player, right? Like, there's still some things. Landon Jackson specifically, that type of athletic frame, he's not super bendy. Like, he doesn't have the type of athleticism that I like. And I know people kind of want to kick him in, and he's done some of that stuff in the past, and maybe the size will help. But to me, that's a guy fighting for a roster spot, right? Like, he's trying to find a way to cling to a roster spot. And I think, you know, a Dwayne Carter is another example of that, a guy that's putting on weight, trying to find a way to stay on a roster. But in terms of the other guys, and I know on the defensive line and even in the linebacker room, there's some questions on the fits and the types for in this transition to all the talk about a 3-4 in the Jim Leonard defense. But the thing that gives me at least optimism of this is the type of coach that I've seen Jim Leonard be when he was in Wisconsin, and what we know of him from his time in Denver and just some of the clinics you can watch.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
My biggest frustrations of the Sean McDermott era, as much as I like Sean McDermott and the success this team had, it felt like he often wanted players to kind of fit the mold of his scheme. And I think Jim Leonard's a little bit the opposite, where he does have an idealistic version of what the scheme should be, in his opinion, but he's going to put players in a position to be successful. So I think he'll bend his scheme more to the talent that's in the room, where Sean McDermott was so into his own scheme at times that I don't know that he always fit it to the players that he had. He didn't always work with the ingredients list that he was given to do it the right way. He just expected those guys to play their 1 of 11 within the scheme. And I think Leonard will be a little bit more freestyle, if you will, especially in this first year where he doesn't have all the fits that he would like.
I'm glad you mentioned Dwayne Carter, because I think I've made this mistake at least one other time. I think I'm confusing him and Deion Walker. Carter I read about putting on weight too, like Jackson, and I think I made the thing about Walker up. It's in the wrong shelf in my brain, I think. So I'm glad I think we got that corrected. Aaron Quinn from Cover One on the Wester Hotline with us. How do you think overall they'll do as far as pass rush goes? I mean, we've seen the addition of Bradley Chubb and the draft pick of TJ TJ Parker. I think if they get any kind of a boost in pass rush, it's not so much going to be like that somebody goes and gets 12 or 15 sacks, but I think the scheme might just generate more pressure, and like overall they may just get more sacks. But I'm not sure they have still a hellraiser there unless Rousseau is freed up with the new position.
Yeah, it's this is going to be a very interesting thing to see, because I actually think the pass rush itself wasn't as bad as it felt. The problem with Sean McDermott and this defense was that it never came through in the big games and the big moments that you needed the pass rush to come through. So you had some statistics that looked okay for the regular season, but in the big moments, that pass rush wasn't able to generate the type of pressure you need against the elite teams and the elite quarterbacks. Where I think Jim Leonard is going to do that with scheme. I am a little bit worried about the personnel in terms of just a guy that can line up and win one-on-one consistently. I don't know that they have that type of pass rusher. That's kind of was my disappointment in the TJ Parker pick. I'm hoping he proves me wrong, that he can be a guy that can win some of that one-on-one. He doesn't necessarily win in the way that I like to see edges win, and that's something this spring I've been going through is, you know, the Bills aren't going to probably go get that bendy, super athletic edge that I'm looking for in terms of like the aesthetic of an end. But that doesn't mean these guys can't win and get pressure, right? There's plenty of different types of guys, and they all win in different ways. Last year, I got a little bit killed because I was this time of year I was super high on Greg Rousseau, and I thought he was going to ascend into a top 15 type defensive end. And I think he played really well. I really do. I think he still is on the cusp, and he had some big moments as the season wound down. He didn't quite get to where I thought his ceiling could get to. That doesn't mean he's not going to. I think he could still do that this year. But you didn't pair him with the type of guy that I think makes him a better pass rusher. You paired him with a guy that's almost a mirror image of him and Bradley Chubb. And so I'm interested to see how they're able to generate, you know, if they just line up guys on the line, are they able to generate pass rush? Or is this something that Jim Leonard's going to have to bring some delayed pressures, bring some creepers, bring some different looks, bring a safety down into the box and blitzing Dorian Williams, right? And trying to generate pressure through scheme. And I do think that, again, is the thing that gives me optimism to maybe throw a little bit more at some of these elite quarterbacks in those big moments, is Jim Leonard isn't scared to kind of get a little bit ballsy with the blitz packages and do some more creeper stuff that at times Sean McDermott kind of, again, leaned back into the scheme and, hey, we'll just play our coverage and rush four and hope that that works. I don't think you'll get that type of thing from Leonard. I think he'll be more aggressive trying to create that pressure.
How do you like the back end? I'll skip the middle for now because the linebacking core might be a little sketchy at this point. Sure. I was talking with Nate Geary about this yesterday, and you just the secondary, I wonder if they might not sort of be back to being a strength of the team. I really like Bishop, and I think he's someone who took a step last year, and if there's another step, that could be really good. Even if he just plateaus, I still think you've got a very good player there. I'm very excited and intrigued by C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and I wonder. I've told Sal this a few times. Like I haven't gotten anybody, to take my action, but I might bet that IGB beats out Maxwell Hairston.
That's interesting. Something Greg and I kind of were talking about a little bit yesterday. We did our linebacker show, but we were kind of talking like there is so many unknowns, right? Like we assume maybe certain guys in the linebacker room, like a Dorian Williams or a Max Hairston, you know, in that Sean McDermott era, the vets that were established, even if they weren't that good, even if they were just mediocre, sort of had a leg up going into camp on maybe some of the new additions, right? And those guys had to earn their way into those spots. It's a clean slate for a lot of these guys. So they are invested in a Max Hairston, right? But that doesn't mean that he's guaranteed a job in this defense. But I will say that back end might be the thing I'm most excited about with this Jim Leonard defense. Obviously, he cut his teeth in the league on the back end. I think he's done incredible things both at Wisconsin and in the Broncos with some of the players on the back end of defenses. I think the player that's probably going to benefit the most from Jim Leonard is Cole Bishop. I am expecting a huge leap forward. Last year was a fantastic foundation for him. I think that's his floor, which is absolutely great. I think the Bills are going to have a long-term safety answer there as a floor. And then you said it, adding a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I didn't like that last year when people wanted the trade for the Sean McDermott defense. I didn't like him as a fit in the Sean McDermott defense. I didn't think that was a good fit at all. In the Jim Leonard defense, I absolutely really love this next to Cole Bishop. I think there's a lot of things you can do with the two of those guys. And I think a guy that's going to be really sneaky as a utility weapon in this defense is Jalen Kilgore. I absolutely loved that draft pick. I hope I'm not getting a little bit too ahead of myself on the excitement of him because he is still a draft pick. He is going to have to develop. But I think the Bills are in a great position. They have two starting caliber safeties, so they don't need him to come in and be a starting safety right away. They have the nickel sort of figured out as well, I think. I think they can really put him in as that hybrid piece that the NFL is starting to kind of go towards, which might help with the other conversation that we'll have here at the linebacker position, some of these hybrid type guys that they have on that back end. So I like a lot of the pieces. And if you go back and watch some of the Wisconsin film, especially on third downs, right? Third down was a big issue last year for the Buffalo Bills. If it was third and 10 or more, it was almost a guarantee the other team was going to pick that up. Go back and watch the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin versus Oregon. Justin Herbert, Jim Leonard put on an absolute clinic on third downs. And I know that's college and it might not translate to the NFL, but just the type of looks and adding defensive backs to the field and you don't know where guys are coming from. You don't know who's in, who's down, who's up. That's the kind of stuff that just tricks quarterbacks. And we just haven't seen anything like that in Buffalo. So I'm really excited about this back end group. And I know there was a lot of conversation about Christian Benford this past week because Jeremy Fowler's executive scouts report and he didn't get in that top 10. I'm okay with that. If you want to stack chips on Christian Benford's shoulder, please, by all means. I think he's a top end player. And all the defensive guys that I've talked to, you know, he might have trended a little bit down last year from previous years, but I'm still buying stock on Christian Benford.
I'm glad you mentioned Kilgore. You heard me make a sound. I definitely do this, like you're saying, like, oh, I hope I'm not just getting carried away. It happens to me. Since Kyle Hamilton showed up, I wanted Emenwori two drafts ago and see what he's done in Seattle. And Kilgore is not that guy, athletic profile wise entirely, but a joker type guy that I'm just going to, is he playing safety? Is he playing slot corner? Is he playing linebacker? Like where is he? I love having a guy that you can use like that. I just I always get lost in it, and I do think the trend in the league is toward that sort of player. So hopefully Leonard has plans for him.
you know who's another sneaky guy that kind of fits that mold a little bit, and I think they misused him under McDermott, is I think Jordan Hancock can be another one of those type of guys that can be a weapon. I don't think he's a true safety, and so when they lined him up to play safety, I think that wasn't a benefit to him. I think he's a guy that can be almost like what Cam Lewis was, but I think better. So both those guys are young, good players that I'm excited that a creative mind like Jim Leonard, who has a background as a defensive back, is going to utilize to their fullest potential.
All right, so linebacker. I don't know how much time you want to spend here, but Bernard shook me up last year. I loved him coming in, replacing Edmonds, and we saw like splash plays right away, and like, okay, that's our guy, but he's so undersized, and I feel like he's taken a beating, and I just wonder if, you know, that hasn't cost him some of his speed and explosiveness.
It could. I don't know. You definitely could see the injury was impactful a year ago, right? And I think that he even kind of mentioned trying to play through some of that stuff almost to, a detriment to the team, which isn't good. He sort of talked about that this year. I am expecting, if healthy, that he's going to fit this defense actually really well. I think Jim Leonard's, while it isn't replicated from like a Baylor defense, it's got some elements of what he was doing in Baylor. So I think he's going to have a good feel for this defense. I still think he's a playmaker. I think this is a guy that you want to get out in space to go make plays on the ball. And I think that Jim Leonard's going to try to utilize that. And even as a pass rusher, some of those different creeper pressures, different things, looks like that. I think that he's going to be impactful there. It's the matter of, do you think Terrell Bernard can stay healthy? I have a tough time with this one Bulldog. I tend not to believe in injury prone. Mm-hmm. I know some guys go through bouts in their careers where they definitely stack up some injuries, and he's kind of right on the cusp of being one of those guys that stacked up a couple injuries here recently and starting to get that label. This is a big year for him to prove it. There's a few guys like that on the Bills roster, but this will be a big one for him to prove it, because I think this room of the linebacker room really revolves around him, right? I think we can talk about Dorian Williams or Elam Ord as another linebacker, but Terrell Bernard's going to be the one that really kind of stirs the drink in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Elam Ord, like I don't want to assume he's a fourth-round pick. Maybe he can show up and outplay Williams and get on the field, and it'll be a strength for them. But it feels a little bit risky to me to assume that.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete, so I understand fans clamoring for it. And obviously, the way Jim Leonard spoke about him, granted, Dorian Williams wasn't in those activities early on in this part of the season, so he did jump him in those things and was taking reps with the starters. So I understand fans are excited. I actually hearkened back to when Matt Milano was drafted on the show the other night and the Ramon Humber situation, right? Ramon Humber, I think, was the starter for about six, seven, because I'll get killed by my kids, but 6 or 7 weeks here that season. And Matt Milano started to come in and become the starter. I could see a situation play out where Dorian Williams is the starter to start the year. He's still a good player. I know people are down on him, but I think he's a fine football player and can play that weak side good enough at a mediocre level. But he's a high-end special teams player, so he's going to earn himself a spot here. And then as the season goes on, I could see maybe the rookie taking over some of those reps as you get into the postseason.
I think the show is going to need to be pulled over, Aaron, because we've just spent 20 minutes talking about the Bills and have not talked about the offense at all. Just entirely on the defensive side.
Well, we know what to expect, you know, right?
Well, let me ask you about DJ Moore's ceiling. That, and then I want a quick take from you on if you're at all interested in Brandon Cooks or anyone else for that matter, but that's the name that's certainly out there. What about Moore? Do you think we're talking about a 1,000, 1,100-yard guy, or do you think the Bills have forgotten how to feed a number one receiver?
So this was an interesting one, because when Greg and I were doing kind of like our wish list and free agent shows and stuff, I had my eyes on Moore, and in talking to Greg a little bit, we were kind of like, man, I don't see how Brandon Bean can pull off a move like this. That's a big contract. I don't know where he gets the money to kind of make this deal happen. And it was like 2 weeks later, he makes the deal happen. And I loved the player. So that was kind of my take, was, hey, I think this is too expensive. And I know a lot of people probably still felt that way. Even today, they feel it's too expensive. But the player itself, if you take away the compensation, I love the fit. I love the player. I think he's super underrated in terms of the national media. I think it was Ryan Clark talking about why the Broncos were better because they added Jaylen Waddle. I think DJ Moore is just as good as Jaylen Waddle without the injury history, right? Like, he plays through those things. So I think he's a great fit. I think Josh Allen is dying for a guy that he can rely on and feed. So I do think he'll get targets, but more importantly, Bulldog, I think this is finally an opportunity for them to have a guy that pulls some real gravity away. So even if he's not getting huge numbers in production, defensive coordinators are going to want to know where DJ Moore is on the field, because he can be played inside. He can go outside and win. You're going to have to know where he is. And I think that opens up stuff for Khalil Shakir in the middle of the field. I think that was a struggle for Shakir, especially when Kincaid wasn't on the field last year. You didn't have anyone really threatening the defense in a way where they could – you know, pull some attention away from the middle of the field in that seam. I think that DJ Moore is going to pull some of that attention, and it's going to open up things for a guy like Dalton Kincaid and for a guy like Khalil Shakir. So again, even if he's not incredibly productive or his production continues to dip as his career ages out, I think just his presence on the field as a legitimate threat to be a number one type wide receiver, or a low end one, is a huge benefit for this Bills team.
And a quick take on Brandon Cooks before you sail off into your weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Brandon Cooks. And again, in free agency, he was one of those guys where if the draft didn't work out the way you wanted, sure, bring in Brandon Cooks to compete. I don't see a spot for him on the roster as it stands outside of practice squad, unless you were able to convince some team to take on Joshua Palmer's contract in a trade, or maybe trade Keon Coleman if that was somehow available. Mm-hmm. But if Keon and Palmer are both on this roster, I just don't see where you bring in a guy at Cooks' age with his declining skill, even though I liked what he brought last year. He's not playing special teams, right? So you can't have a lot of those guys that are just sitting as your wide receiver five aren't really playing. The only path I can see as the roster stands now is if he's willing to hang out as a practice squad guy who's willing to be called up in case of emergency.
You might need to sign him before you do any of that, though. I wonder, like, if he's eager to get to camp. I thought it was interesting in the Tim Graham Athletic piece.
He did, yeah.
That he wants to go to camp. Like, without having read that, I'm glad that Tim, you know, got that information, because I would have sat in here going, ah, he'll probably just wait until mid-August. But it sounds to me like that dude wants to go put the time in. So. I mean,
if he wants to get into the Bills camp and not have anything guaranteed to him, I would absolutely throw him in there, because injuries are going to happen. He is a good player. He's a good vet. I'd like him to, you know, a guy like Skylar Bell would benefit a ton from having a guy like that in the room. So I'm all for it. I don't know if he would find a way to crack that active roster unless an injury or a trade occurred.
Yep. All right, Aaron. Excellent job as always. Enjoyed the visit very much. Where are we finding all of the stuff?
Yeah, man, Cover One, go to YouTube, find us, join us at coveronenet.com/onepass. We're doing a lot of stuff. Our buddy Anthony Prasco was just on ESPN the other day, but
I saw he was on Mina Kimes' show, right?
Yes,
great. And Mina, good for you guys, man. I really like her work a lot, and that's an excellent landing spot, man. That's really
cool.
She's
fantastic, and she shouted out the network. Check us out on YouTube if you haven't yet. Give us a like. We're out there working hard. This is a tough time of year, as you know, Bulldog, to talk about football when not a whole lot's going on. So, well, all the support we can get, we appreciate.
Well, I appreciate you helping me do exactly that for the last 20 minutes or so, buddy. All right, have a great weekend, and we'll catch up.
All right, take care. Enjoy vacation, bud.
All right. That's Aaron Quinn from Cover One on the Wester Hotline with us. Excellent work they do. 803-0550. Anything there you want to get into? I'll certainly share some thoughts on, well, mostly where we ended, go figure, on the receiving corps. We'll get to that. But certainly anything else goes. If you're up for it at 803-0550, please feel free to give us a buzz. Mike is away this week. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
He better get to 40 with as bad as he is defensively. I mean, he can score 30, but I have no use for him as a 30-goal scorer if he doesn't improve as a two-way hockey player, because he absolutely kills them. He killed Utah last year to the point where they took him out of their top six. It's like, surprise! Where do you guys have scout? Do you actually scout a team before you stupidly trade Doan and Kesselring for some guy? But to their credit, they got out from under what might have been the worst trade in team history.
Paul Hamilton, guns blazing on J.J. Paterka, traded from Utah to Boston on draft night. I brought that on myself. I invited that. I told Paul I think he's going to score 40 with it playing with Pasternak. Obviously, you know, that's the piece. And the right point is made there. Like, will they trust him enough to play top-line minutes? I guess depends on the centerman, but I like that bet. I would bet like 35 would be my number for a bet. I don't think 40. He's never scored 40. But I think 35 is in the window for J.J. Paterka. You heard Derek in the update mention how Scottie Scheffler missed the cut at the Scottish Open. First time in 4 years he's missed a cut. And the last time when I saw that, I mentioned it, and that is the Open next week, and it is. I thought that's how it worked, but I wasn't sure. I didn't have the dates right in front of me, but indeed, the Open Championship is going next weekend. So the fourth major of the year now, with the PGA being in May instead of August. So that'll be something to keep track of next weekend. I'm going to pick up where I left off with Aaron Quinn on the Brandon Cooks idea, because as we've talked about it, you know, a couple of times at least with Sal Capaccio, that you know, maybe they would like the idea if they get worried about Palmer, if Coleman is showing troubling signs, maybe more off the field than on, whatever, maybe then they would pivot. And I wonder, though, with Cooks saying he wants to be in a camp, whether you will have the opportunity to wait until you feel like you need him, right? I wonder, I would think, I don't know what kind of contract Brandon Cooks would be commanding at this point, but I would think you could put something together that leaves you without too much pain if it doesn't work out. Like, if you are bringing him here, I think it makes sense to want to have insurance for Palmer and or Coleman. Either one of those guys could go bust. I think Coleman, because of his lack of maturity that led to him being benched numerous times last year, Palmer because of his health. So if I have to make a decision to get into the Brandon Cooks business again, and I got to do it before I know whether Palmer is going to be healthy, before I know whether Coleman's going to show up on time for everything once training camp gets here, I think I would want to do it. I think I would bring him in. The guy wants to come here. I want to take that as a sign that there'd be some cooperation on a contract and that you wouldn't end up in a spot, because what you don't want to do is bring him in here and end up on the hook for some money if Palmer is healthy. You know, I think a healthy Palmer, if I have faith in him, I think, you know, if he can get through the summer, then I'm going to, okay, I think I want to be all right here. But the signs were troubling all year, really, with Palmer, starting last summer and right through the season. So if that starts up again, I think I'd like to have Cooks already here. Same thing for Coleman. And if Cooks wants to be in a camp by, you know, the open of camps, and if he has options, which maybe not. I don't know. A player at his age, I think it's a worthwhile bet to bring him in again. Minimal commitment, minimal guarantee, because there might not be a spot for him if everything goes right. But I think it's a reliable insurance policy to have to bring him back. So I would do it. I would do it ahead of time, just so I know I've got a little more competition. I think he could provide something in a veteran that is a pretty versatile player that I think, you know, despite the way it ended, you know, him not hanging onto that ball all the way through the catch, at least in the way I saw it, and I guess the way the NFL saw it, I think it's worth a try. Because I still am not sure. I like the DJ Moore bet. Once you get past the cost to acquire the player, I like the player a lot. And you can get hung up on. I mean, the cost was the cost. It will always be there. But once you're past it, he's on your team. I'm gonna choose not to. The draft has gone by. I'm gonna choose not to get too hung up on it. I do think they overpaid. It still really never made sense to me. I think really Bean was so eager to get something on the board because of really the spectacle he made of himself the season before, talking about his receivers and bragging about Josh Palmer and calling our guys out for strongly advocating for more at receiver. It kind of blew up in his face, and I think he wanted to make sure he could get DJ Moore done and was not in a position to play the game of poker all the way to the end, you know, because if you do that, there's a chance you might lose out. And he wanted to make sure he got something done, and he did. I don't like the cost, but I do like the player. I think the player makes a lot of sense, and I don't think that the Bills – I think Everybody Eats was something that they got to out of necessity. I do not think they were better off without a number one receiver. Does anybody dispute that anymore? Can we, like, end that nonsense? Oh, it's better this way. Allen doesn't feel like he's got to feed some diva. Guess what? Divas get open. They're divas because they're great. So, and I'd say that Moore's a diva. But, you know, Diggs had plenty of that. I just never really bought for a second that they didn't want. I mean, I think they were done with Diggs and tired of Diggs. And then they were just in the spot they were in. They tried Coleman. It didn't work. They tried Palmer. It didn't work. And so they went bigger, and they went and got more, and we'll see if it works. I don't think that because the other ideas haven't worked and because Diggs wore out his welcome, that the Bills are living in some world where they think they're better off not having the most talented pass catcher they can have. I think that just never made sense to me. The idea that you were going to live this way, like, oh, no, they're all equal. That's not how it works. There's going to be guys that are better than other guys. And, you know, unless you just have a pool of guys that are really just a bunch of Jags, they're just a bunch of guys. That's what they've had. I think Palmer is squarely in that group. Coleman so far is absolutely in that group. He might not even be in that group. He's not even just a guy yet. Maybe Coleman. Palmer, I think, is. Moore is a cut above that. And I think I'm thinking about a guy that called us, I think yesterday, the day before, that was saying, like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's going to put pressure on Allen. I don't know that he wants to feed a number one receiver. Man, I think if DJ Moore gets open on the regular, Allen will have no problem focusing his attention on the guy who gets open. I mean, it seems like entry-level easy stuff to me to figure out. And any notion, like, forget about Everybody Eats. It was out of necessity. And it's not necessary. It shouldn't be necessary anymore with a player the caliber of DJ Moore on the team. I don't think I'm going too hard here and overstating how good he is. I think he's a good idea as this team's number one receiver. And I don't think, you know, 1,000 yards is out of the question at all. Especially if they are going to end up throwing it more, and we'll see if they end up deciding to throw it more. But I would throw it more to Moore. Get it? I would sign Brandon Cooks, like, today, frankly. I think it's a good insurance policy to have. Again, assuming the money isn't, like, some sort of ridiculous stuff, because I don't think where he's at in his career it should be. And so if I'm reading that correctly, I think it's an opportunity to go get something done. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is away this week. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.